Today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin, and we've been discussing the concept of a micha'ah, that's only a mechza micha'ah, as the Rashbam puts it, a micha'ah that would apply only to one chelek of the issues. So let's say somebody had a right to be in a place for peres, because of, we talked about there may be a case of mashkanta de surah, or where you had arisut. We were speaking there about the nature of a micha'ah. How would you go about making a mechah? We were also talking about a sukkah, which was the question of how many trees can you plant in one area, then scatter was our last issue, scatter over a period of 3 years, your harvest. And meanwhile, we had mentioned that, of course, it would need to be 10 ilonot per sa'ah, because beyond that, it's an improper way to farm. That's interesting that today the Gemara puts together the two sugyas that we were talking about. And it's fascinating. It just happens to come together that there's an issue of how dealing with such a field would involve a micha'ah. In order to get to that, we have to first discuss the question of what type of relationship is there between the trees and the karka. Because this is, we're taking for granted over here that if you were mahzik in the trees, that would mean that you have a chazaka on the karka. That's not so partial. Let's talk about, before we get into the din of chazaka in terms of time, let's talk about the din of just regular kinyanim. Chazaka is a kinyan. Somebody sells you the trees on his land. Now, does that mean that he sells you the rights to the land as well for these trees? Or is he just selling you trees? I mean, it would make a tremendous nafkamina. First of all, can you prevent him from using the land in between? If the tree dies, do you have a right to replant the tree? All kinds of questions would come up. Now, the truth is that we've seen elsewhere that there are two basic dinim. One is that if you sell a person the three trees in a field, so then, as we know, three trees, fully grown trees at a Beit Za'ah, are actually yonik from the whole area. So if you buy three trees, you have a right to the whole area. And we assume that he sold you all of the land in between. How about if he sells you two trees? You can see already how this relates to the previous sugya. We're having trees that were spread out over an area. Having some of them gives you a right to the whole area in terms of establishing chazaka. But that isn't true when it comes to the initial kinyan. So you're coming an initial kinyan. You only take two trees out of the area since they don't require the entire area for their nourishment. So there, the halacha is that you are only kena sufficient space that would allow the tree to grow and would allow you to work on the tree and harvest the fruits. So you have the place just enough to set your basket down and beyond the branches that you're going to be putting up a ladder, and so on. And in truth, there's other issues that get involved in this, of course, which is the question of mocher ba'ayin yafa u'mocher, or ba'ayin ra'awaya u'mocher, which is a machlokas in a Mishnah, which we'll get to also very soon. So let us first talk about a normal case. So you buy a karka, and you don't talk about ilanot. The din is over there. But the owner who sold you the karka can't say, well, I meant to keep the ilanot for myself. If he sold you a field, it includes whatever ilanot in the field. He sold you the orchard. It's not only the ground of the orchard, it's the tree of the orchard. On the other hand, if he sells you the trees of the orchard, so then it depends, as we said before, two trees or three trees, is the whole area being sold to you, or just the area directly that is necessary, if there's two, for working on the tree. What we're talking about over here is a special case. In this case, a man sells out his field, his orchard, but he sells it to two different people at the same time. So to one, he sells the land, and to the other, he sells the trees. So ze hichzik, and when we're using the word hichzik here, we don't mean chazaka shalosh shanim. We mean standard chazaka is a kinyan. He acted out the act of ba'alut, he did something for the trees, or did something on the land, he plowed, or he fixed a fence, or whatever the case may be, as chazaka is defined elsewhere. So somebody goes and makes a kinyan chazaka on the ilanot, and the other guy goes and makes a kinyan chazaka on the karka. And the question is, now the guy with the ilanot wants to know, does he have rights to the area around his tree or what? So Omer Zvid, Zekana ilanot vezekana karka. Look, because of the fact that he sold it out to two different people, he obviously didn't mean to make this a standard sale by which it's a certain amount of karka. I mean, in the same way, he's selling the karka to one, the guy to whom he's selling the karka can't say, well, the normal din is, if you sell karka, you also sell the trees on the karka. God says, you knew perfectly well I was selling the trees to somebody else. It's the same ma'amad. There's two different contracts. So the question is, I mean, if that's true in that direction, and maybe it's true in the other direction, the guy who bought the trees, he'll say, well, normally when you sell trees, you give the rights to the karka under the trees. The guy may be able to say, well, you know perfectly well that I was selling the karka to somebody else. So you knew that I wasn't including the karka with the trees. So therefore, Tainez Rivzvid, indeed, this is a very sterile sale to each person. It's trees and only trees, and it's karka and only karka. Maskevlar of Papa. So Rav Papa says this doesn't make any sense, because in Cain, Ein lo labali lanot bekarka klum, according to what you're saying, the guy who bought the trees in this case where he was selling out the karka to somebody else owns nothing. So if he owns nothing, lemalei bal karka labali lanot akor in landcha shkol vezil. So why can't the guy who bought the karka say, get your trees out of my land? So, I mean, obviously you don't mean to say that he didn't sell him the rights to the karka in which the trees are, right? So, I mean, if he didn't sell him that, so then we already need to adjust the things here, because it's not a sterile sale. You're agreeing it's not a sterile sale. So once you're ready to go along with it's not being a sterile sale, so then how do you know where to draw the line? I mean, the guy could say, look, if I was normally buying a tree, I wouldn't only get the rights to the land directly beneath the trunk of the tree, which would allow me to replace the tree if it dies. I would get even the area around that I need sufficient to work the tree, if it were just two trees. With three trees, I would get all the land that's nourishing the trees, the whole Beit Sa'an. So in the same way that undoubtedly you're agreed that the man can't simply throw the trees out, so then if that's the case, how do you know that he doesn't give him some land associated with it as well?
So when we say sterile, we're talking like it's just like an isolated item?
Yeah, table. Exactly. It has no connection to anything outside. And that, says Papa, makes no sense. Because we must identify some rights for the trees. I mean, otherwise, what does it mean to sell a person trees? Now, there's some question about how far to take the attack of Papa. In other words, because Bepashtus, what Rav Papa might be saying, this is new time or old time?
This is old time. I mean new time, but I came...
He came early. Right? Okay. So now, there's two ways to understand Rav Papa's attack. One approach may be that, look, the fact that somebody is selling a house that has a renter, Lamashal. I mean, obviously I can't sell out the renter's right to stay in the house, but it doesn't give him any rights to the house. So, I mean, I did the same thing over here. There's a renter in the field, so to speak. That is the guy who is allowed to keep his tree there until such time as the tree dies and no longer needs the tree, the field. So it may be that Rav Papa is only tining to Rav Zvid that, I mean, if this is the case, if the tree died, he should be able to tell him, get your tree the heck out of here. Which, of course, Rav Zvid would respond and would say, that's right. That's exactly what he can do. Nonetheless, Rav Papa held that it's too absurd to entertain such a notion. Because why should we say such a thing? In the same way that when I normally sell a guy two trees or three trees, there's enough ground that's coming with it to support it. So, I mean, it's silly to say he has to literally take out the dead trees. He's not allowed to even replace the trees that he has. But the truth is, this is just a judgment question.
Couldn't he have been sold the trees as firewood? You know, the guy wanted to buy the trees because he wanted to cut them down.
No, he bought the trees as the right to stay there for their fruit, not for firewood, living trees. So that's one way of learning. But Tosfos says, look, it may well be that he was pushing all the way. He was saying, if theoretically it's a totally sterile sale, then he ought to be able to tell them to uproot the trees too, because they're bothering my land. There's just a question of how far he was going. Was it just saying, difficult for me to accept? Or is he saying it's ridiculous, and even you're agreed to a certain amount? All right. But basically, Rav Papa disagrees, and he holds, Ela om Rav Papa, I say, Zekana ilanot v'chatzi karka, v'zekani kana chatzi karka. It says chatzi. It doesn't necessarily mean half. It means half of the area, that is to say, that would have been necessary for my trees, or maybe talking about where there was just enough, let's say, for the in the Beit Sa'ah, that's what was sold. In which case, he was claiming, the guys with the tree, was claiming the whole Beit Sa'ah, because normally that's what I would have gotten. Therefore, the other person, the most he can get is the rights to a shutafut in the ground. It definitely was excluded from the trees. So since with the contract of the trees went the rights to the karka that support the trees, and at the same time, you sold the rights to that karka to somebody else, then we understand it to be half and half. So that you get half of the rights that you would have had to the land for your trees, and the other guy gets the other half. Now let's analyze the cases, says the Gemara. Pshita, in a normal case, when you sell the karka, now if you don't say anything, when you sell karka, you sell the contents of the karka, which includes the trees. If you write specifically in the contract, I want to maintain the rights to my trees, and you, I'm not selling you the trees, obviously whatever tanai you make in the sale is perfectly binding. So if you were mocha de karka and you say, I want to keep the ilanot, I, the seller, in that case, you definitely meant to protect yourself by keeping the karka necessary for the trees. Because the last thing that you want is to be put into a position where the guy could turn around and say, okay, now I own the karka, out you go. Even if it would mean second order, meaning even if it would mean if my trees die, he'll be able to tell me, take your trees out of here. Because when I want my trees, I want to be able to replace my trees. And this would be true, and here we involve ourselves for the first time in the famous machloket about how to define the features of a sale that were left undefined in a contract. Do we interpret it according to the strict words, the field, meaning the ground of the field, or do we say the field and its contents? And this really is a question of understanding the psychology of buying and selling. So that there's a machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan, whether we say a mocher is ba'ayin yafa, hu mocher, generally when a person sells, he's ready to let go. That's what a sale means. And when you're ready to let go, then you let go and you don't sit there and think, I could still keep this and I could still keep that. So you're not going to Jew him. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no, a mocher is ba'ayin ra'ah, a mocher. We have to assume that a person in a sale is pressed to sell and is reluctant to let go. Hasn't made up his mind to let go. That machloka should have vast implications for the whole thing you were talking about over here. And therefore, we start now with an analysis of the case. The truth is that the place where that machlokas was stated, it's a fascinating question where a guy is maintaining the rights to a well or a cistern in a field that he sold. The question is whether he's also maintained the right of way. So if you hold that a mocher ba'ayin yafahu mocher, surprisingly, according to Rabbi Akiva, he did not maintain an easement to his well. So if they get into a fight and the guy says, well, yeah, you're welcome to helicopter in and get your water out of your well, that's what he's stuck with. And he's going to have to buy the rights to be able to get to his well. But that, says the Gemara, does not have any impact on our case. And I'll tell you why. Afilo l'Rebbe Akiva, d'omra mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher. When you say that you're selling because you're ready to let go, it's only where you don't fear that the person is going to be driven to fighting you about it. So hani mile gabi bor vedut, where you have now a cistern in the other guy's field, there it doesn't bother him. He knows this area is not mine. It's lo makshur ba'ara. It's not disturbing his use of the land. He can plant his little vegetable garden right up to the edge of your bor. Not a problem. So over there, I'm not frightened that I don't seek to protect myself. But I know that when I'm selling ilanot, that the guy is going to be desperate to get me out of here. Why? Because they're makshi biara. First of all, they're leaching nutrients out of the ground. He doesn't want that. Secondly, as they grow, the roots start spreading. He's got problems now getting his plow over here. And the guy's going to be furious within a few years. And he's going to tell me, get your trees out of here already. So the first opportunity that he has to tell me, well, look, you know, your trees, they're right at this point, they're dead, I don't want you replacing them. That's what he's going to tell me. So in that case, even if you hold that normally a person sells ba'ayin yafa, but it doesn't mean he doesn't protect himself from what he sees is right around the corner. So he says to himself, so there vadai shiyurei shayir. There he definitely left himself the rights. Because the ilo shiyur, if he wouldn't, he'd say to himself, lemale, the moment that this tree dies, even I have a right to keep a live tree there, but as soon as the tree dies, the guy's going to say, look, I've suffered with your trees for 5 years already. They finally dropped dead, thank God. Now just get them out of here and burn them up, but certainly do not attempt to replace them. You can open up the door over there. So. Ooh, yeah, if you're uncomfortable, there'll be other women coming. But this is all right. Just reminds me to make sure that Nani gets it. So in this case, you definitely would have protected him, because otherwise, lema lay, meaning he knows that the guy's going to be able to say to him, akor ilan chavazil, machar ilanot. Yeah, Nani wanted to come to the shir afterwards, so just let her know and anybody else know. Machar ilanot v'shier karka lefanav. The other way around. He sells now the trees. And he says specifically, I want to keep the karka. So there is where we would get into the plukta of Rabbi Akiva Rabbanan. So according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, the mocher is ba'ayin yafa, mocher. So then itay. Then in that case, if he's selling out, so then enochinami, the guy has the right to the area under the trees. According to Rabbanan, if he's mocher ba'ayin ra'ah, letle. Now, the problem is that this seems to encroach on the area of the machlokes that we just had between Rizvid and Rapapa, right? Because Rizvid and Rapapa talk about a case in which a guy is selling the trees to one person and the ground to another person. So we had a machloket over there, whether a leave of Rizvid, it's a completely sterile sale on each side. Land is land, trees are trees, never shall the twain meet, and basically we ignore our general rules about rights that were given to someone who has a field that he bought from you, a trees that he bought from you, because you'll say, look, I sold the karka out to somebody else. Right? Rav Papa says, I mean, it's absurd to say that the trees can't be replaced. It must be we're going to have to make certain allowances for what was sold, split it. So the area that was given to the trees, normally in this case, we say, since you wrote another shtar to somebody else, it means that you intend to create basically a shutafut in the land. Let them split the ownership. So this machloket, do you mean to sell ba'ayin yafa or ba'ayin ra'ah, says the Gemara, has nothing to do with the machloket of Rizvid and Rapapa. And let me show you how both the shitas of Rizvid and the shita of Rapapa will make perfectly good sense aliba both shitot of Rabbi Akiva and Rabban. We have no idea what they would hold about a typical sale. The reason, if you think about it for a moment, the reason we have no relationship between a case where I'm selling out to two different people to a typical sale is very clear. I mean, if I would say normally that a mocher is ba'ayin ra'ah mocher, it's because he's protecting himself. In this case where he's selling out anyway, nothing's going to be left. What does he care? So over there, obviously the rule that is ba'ayin yafa mocher doesn't make any sense at all. And if you hold ba'ayin yafa u mocher, it also doesn't make any sense. Because if I'm selling to one guy, I might as well sell to the other guy. So I mean, it's a question of balancing their two rights. So at the moment you think about it, you see that it's irrelevant to the issue at hand. But we want to talk out. How would that work? So it says the Gemara like this. Look, afilu Rivzvid. Rivzvid who says when you sell to two people simultaneously, one you sell the land, and the other one you sell the karka. So he normally says that, Eimla, hanimi legabe shnei lekuchot. That's because you're selling to two people at the same time, says Rivzvid. And therefore, what one guy says to the other one is, look, do you agree that I bought land and I didn't get anything of the Ilanot, whereas normally when I buy land, I would have gotten the Ilanot, subsidiary to the field. But the very fact that you were sold the Ilanot means, well, obviously I'm not giving you the Ilanot, I'm giving it to somebody else. No. What does that say to you? It says to you that this doesn't follow the standard rulings and that what is meant is that each contract exists in a vacuum. It's sterile. So the same way I didn't get the Ilanot, so then that was what was meant when it was sold, the karka, to me. And you, who would normally have gotten the karka for your Ilanot, is no better off than I, who would normally have gotten the Ilanot for my karka. Ha! And therefore, and this has nothing to do with mocher bayin yafa or mocher bayin ra'a, aval hacha. In a case where you're stam selling, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, mocher bayin yafa, mocher. In that case, well, certainly we understand that when he sold the trees, he meant there should be enough to be able to support the trees, replace the trees, and so on. And in that case, the mocher bayin yafa mocher, so then we'd give it to you. According to the Rabbanan, or bayin yafa, the din would be that letla you don't have. And that would be true even on the bit of a papa. Ayin ra, sorry. And that would be true. I'll leave it to Rav Papa. Rav Papa is saying in a case where there are two lekuchot, you get a right definitely to the karka. So you're going to say now if there's one lekuach, you don't get right to the karka. Absolutely. That is what I say. Because when do you say yeshla? Hanimi legabi shnei lekuchot. Since there were two buyers. So for all intents and purposes, are we agreed that the man is no longer retaining anything for himself? This is not an anal issue here. He's letting go. Completely, right? So he's saying, are we agreed? He sold it to you. Now, you know that he sold Ba'ayin Yafa because he's not retaining anything. So you're not having a problem with the Ayin Yafa. So the Didinami Zavin Ba'ayin Yafa. In this case, even though normally he's going to be looking out for number one, there's nothing left for number one in this case. Because he's selling at the same time all his other rights to somebody else. So what does he care whether it's me or you? So if he's selling out to you, buying yafa, then he's selling out to me, buying yafa. Aval hacha, mashen came, where he still is retaining rights, so then ein hachinami. Mocher buying ra'a mocher, say the Rabbana. So therefore we have no idea what the Rabbana would hold in that case, what Rav Papa Rav Zvid would hold in the other case. I mean, it's open, completely parallel sugya, but doesn't really encroach on the issues that we're talking about. Amri Nardoi, getting back now to our case. Remember how all this opened? We started talking about if you're going to be Kena, Alibeter of Yishmol, three different types of fruit trees that are scattered within a field. So we said that each one of those trees is considered to be a separate crop, and that you can be Kena, Alibeter of Yishmol, not Kena, but have a Chazoka on your Kinyan in the course of 1 year, where you were able to take in three separate crops, right? So what we pointed out yesterday was is that there's two issues involved in that. It's true that there's a machlokas of Rabbi Yishmael, but that's only on the issue of whether you can, within 1 year, have three separate crops, and those three separate crops would define a chazaka on the field. But as far as the theory is concerned, that just because I'm only taking part of what's in this field, that doesn't mean I don't get the right to the whole field. That, we said, we didn't see that anybody disagreed with that. So Mamela, we wanted to say if you have trees that are scattered around, that you can be kind of the entire area of the field by taking whatever is available in 1 year, as long as they're scattered. But all of that was predicated on it being normal farming practices. So, for instance, If Lamaisa, all of the trees were producing and you decided only to take some, that's not normal farming practices. And therefore, on the contrary, you're not showing yourself to be a Balim, and the guy's not going to be a Mochas. You do not have a Chazak. But more fundamentally, if initially it was planted wrongly so that you had more than 10 saplings to a Beitza, and we know that that's the shear from the Halakha L'Moshe B'Sinai of Shemitah. Remember, we went through that. But since we have a Halakha L'Moshe B'Sinai, that Asara, if you have now Dafka Netiyot, you have Eser Netiyot, which are young trees, they will be allowed to be watered even Erev Shemitah, and you can go ahead and you could be Choresh, because we view everything that you're doing as not preparation for the next year, but it's immediately necessary. Why? They draw nourishment from the entire Beitza. But what if you put in more than 10? So then you're overcrowding. Overcrowding is not good farming. That's first of all. There's another issue, however, with overcrowding. Overcrowding is meant, by definition, to be removed. What you might do initially is you might overcrowd and then see which trees are doing better. Uproot some of the trees and leave the good trees. Or what you might do is, let's say you're selling Christmas trees. So then you'll plant a lot of these little trees. You don't intend to keep them around very long anyway. When they grow a little bit, you'll transfer them out to the front where you got your big sign and the pumpkin for Halloween and the whole business. So you'll replant them now near the road. And meanwhile, this area, you don't really mean to keep the trees there anyway. Now, there you've got another problem. The other problem being, somebody who's trying to get a chazaka on that land is not doing much of a chazaka, using it for things that are meant to be on other land. So there's really two issues. And we'll see that we need to deal with both of these issues. So now, says the Gemara, in a case, say the Nardoi, where you went ahead and you were achla, normally you went ahead now and you took everything that the trees produced, but they were ritzufin. They were more than 10 to a Beit Sa'an. Ain't no chazaka? There's no chazaka. Now, let's assume, as the Rashbam does initially, that the logic behind this being no chazaka is because it's poor farming. And we have a general rule. Poor farming doesn't establish balut. On the contrary, it shows you not to be the bal. If you were a balim, you would farm properly. If what you're doing is you're not putting in the effort to farm properly, you're apparently just trying to make off with what you can, and you don't care. So if you don't care, then you haven't established balut, obviously, right? Let's assume that that's the reason of Ochlan Ritzufim now. So then, it would not be a chazaka, say the Renardo. Yen lo chazaka? Matkif la rav, and here's where we run into problems with the explanation that we just had. Matkif la rav, elameata, hai mishra de aspasta, b'mai konila. According to you, how could you ever be kona? We said you could be kona aspasta. Remember that aspasta is harvested every 30 days. So that it never really is allowed, it's animal feed, it's never allowed to grow to its normal full height, which means it never really requires the full nourishment that a typical plant would require. So when you plant aspasta, you take a mishra, which is an aruga, a row, a bed, and you overplant. You just put as many seeds as you can, whatever grows, grows, you go ahead, 30 days later, you cut it down, it starts growing again, and so that's the way that it is. So that means that the way you're looking at it, says Rav Nardoi, you're always going to be eating ritzufin on aspasta. And therefore, you should never have a chazaka. So b'mai konila? Now obviously this is a ridiculous question. If we explain the meaning of the issue that the Nardoi had as involving poor farming, then it's normal farming when it comes to aspasta. It's only poor farming when you're talking about the Ilanot. But if this is what everybody does with aspasta, so what are you asking a silly question like that? Says the Rashbam, Rava knew it was a silly question, but he just wanted to have something to wave at them so he could give his approach. He didn't really think it was a problem. No, well, it's a little bit weak. Weak. Richie, weak. That's something you relate to. Weak. Weak. You know, just hanging loose. You know. Yeah. Come on, Rich. Therefore, says the Rashbam, there's a whole different approach, obviously. I mean, the other way of looking at it, which some of the other Rishonim say, is that the question over here isn't whether it's poor farming, because then how could we compare Aspasta to the Nineveh's Day Ilanites? It's a different issue over here. The other issue, which is that if you're trying to establish Chazakat on a particular location, a particular field, you need to be Isaac with the things that are meant to remain in this field. But if I know that I'm going to be transferring out these trees and putting them somewhere else, so then I can't say, well, this is my land. I mean, you're, by definition, you're losing it, using it temporarily. So then the Baalim could say, look, I mean, I knew he had to take everything out of here anyway. I mean, he was just saying, oh, what do I care? I wasn't using it now. So I didn't bother being mocha. So therefore, you can't say that his lack of mechayah allows the other person to establish a chazaka. But if that's the case, says Rava, then that's always true about Aspasta. Because the Aspasta bed is not really ever meant to stay here as a normal plant. It's something that you do temporarily to get animal feed and so on. It ultimately depletes the land. It's not something that stays here. It couldn't grow anyway to full height in this kind of way because you'd have to get it out of here. So what would create a chazaka on Aspasta? Therefore, says Rava, I want to tell you something that I think you got mixed up in. If you want to speak about Ritzufin, because we did talk yesterday about the necessity of making absolutely certain that you only had Asara LeBeit Sa'a, which implied that there was some meaning to having Ritzufin that would be overplanted. There's a problem. I'm claiming to you that it's not a problem. So how do I understand? So I'll tell you what the meaning is. And this makes a lot of sense. What I say is that if Machran Ritzufin, now let's put together the two sugyas, Ein Lo Karka. Remember, there were two issues. One is establishing a chazaka, that you actually did buy this area. There's another issue. And for the first time, we brought the two issues together. The chazaka of the actual kinyan, that's the point. Not the chazaka as a proof that I'm in possession, but as an act of kinyan. That's what how we started today. Hirzik Bekarka, Hirzik Bilonis, which had nothing to do with the three-year chazaka. It was the classical use of the word chazaka when it comes to kinyan karkaot. Now, what I'm saying is this. Chazaka, you can't have a taina just because something needs to be moved out. The Baalim would still have said, I'm going to let somebody else use my land as an incubator. It's also part of the use of the land. Some of them, I would have been mocha. That I hold. Just like by Aspasta, that's true about Estei Ilanot as well. But what is not true is that in a case where you're selling the rights to something, which is going to give you, because of the need, let's take the case of the Ilanot. You're selling a guy Ilanot. So normally we say, well, that includes the area that's necessary for the nourishment of the Ilanot. That's only if those Ilanot are destined to remain there. But if those Ilanot are going to be uprooted because they're Ritzufin, so then what do you mean? You gave him the... Anyway, he doesn't have enough land here to nourish these Ilanot. Anyway, they're not meant to stay here. So in that case, what are you going to say? I must have meant to allow him to keep his Ilanot here when I know perfectly well he cannot keep his Ilanot here. That would be the point of Ritzufin. So it was only in the aggregation of these two sugyas, which initially had nothing to do with each other, so it was the Ritzufim Legabe Chazaka, and then we moved on to discuss Rav Zvid's halacha about Ritzufim in terms of Kenyan. That's where you got confused. And I agree. In terms of Kenyan, you certainly cannot say that you have rights to Karka where all you did was have trees that were Ritzuf. Omer Bizera, well, it's a nice point. But it's dependent on Machlokas Tanoim, fascinatingly enough. Because think about what Rava is saying. Rav is saying, since you got to get the trees out of there, there clearly was no sale of the area that wouldn't be needed to nourish these trees. I mean, is that necessarily the way to look at it? Why don't we look at it as you're going to have to thin the trees? Fine, so you will thin the trees. So what? What means you have to take everything out because it's not suitable to grow? What, are you crazy? Don't take everything out. You'll see which trees grow properly, and you'll take out every other tree and whatever. So, I mean, the question is, do we look at the current status? We say the current status is not viable. Okay? So, therefore, you don't have an orchard. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, the current status is temporarily not viable. Big deal. But ultimately, you're going to have an orchard here, and it's going to require nourishment, and therefore, I'm giving it to you. Now, that question is actually a machlokas, a totally unrelated sugya, but which is beautifully connected to us because of the question of how to view it. And what is that? Kilayim. There are two shiurim of kilayim. Normally, let's say you have a single vine. You're not allowed to plant within six tefachim of that vine. That's considered to be the area of the nourishment of the vine. But suppose you actually have a vineyard. So a vineyard creates an area of arba amos around it that is all considered to be kaleya karam if you plant. It's a large piece, which is necessary for commercial farming. So you needed to bring in a plow, and you need to bring in now a truck to be able to collect it. That requires arba amot. No longer shisha tefach. Suppose you have a non-viable kerem. Namely, the very arba amot that we're insisting are necessary between vines in order to draw your plow and your truck through. You didn't give your vineyard. You only put in two amot between rows. So one way of looking at it is, well, it's not a viable kerem. Treat it as a single vine and give it six tvachim. Forget it. It's as if he's going to be accurate. The other way is to say, that obviously you're going to have to uproot every other row so that once again you have four amos between the rows that survive and the rows that will go, will go. That's a machlokas tanoim in the Mishnah. And that machlokas is exactly what Rava is talking about. So that means Rava doesn't work out according to both of those shittos. Therefore, says Reb Zera brilliantly, this is totally in the machlokas in the Mishnah and Kilayim. Kitanoi. Kitanoi. It's actually machlokas tanoi. Namely, it says in the Mishnah, Kerem shunatu al pachot mi arba amot. If you have less than four amot between rows of vines in a vineyard, which does not allow for commercial farming, so then Rabbi Shimon Omer, ain't no kerem, doesn't have any of the dinamikromim, forget about it, the whole thing is inviolable, give it six tvachim to every vine, and it doesn't get any of the extended territory of a kerem. V'chachamim omrim, what's the problem? Harezu kerem, v'ro'im et ha'emtzayim, kilo eina. The vines in the middle, so consider them gone. Isn't that exactly the issue that Rava raised? So Rav is saying, no, don't consider them gone. You don't get any kinyonim. It's not viable. Okay, so apparently Rav is passing like Rabbi Shimon says. I just want to make it very clear that, I mean, why should we pass it like Rabbi Shimon if we can go all leave it to the dust of the Rav? So it seems definitely to be dependent in this machlokas. Amri Nardoi, Haiman de Zovin Dikla Lechavre, a guy who sells now a palm tree. So that person is Konile. He is kona the area under the tree, from the trunk down to the middle of the earth, and he can therefore, now this is a machlokas what this means, he can therefore replace the tree if it dies because he was given the place of the tree, or does it mean only, as Tosva says, he can prevent you from tunneling under his tree? But the question of whether he has rights of replacement, that's dependent in the question of the Mishnah, how many trees you buy, and what it means. Do you get a right to Ura Vesalo, and so on, or not? And that's the Shiloh over here. So Rashbam learns it means that he has the right to the area and to replacement. Matkifla Rava. Why would he be Kena? Now, the karka, if this were true, I mean, so then, Aliba the Rashbam, he should actually, even though it's a deko yechidi, and we say deko yechidi you don't get, but the way to understand is you don't get the full amount, which is normally the amount that you would require for your baskets, your workers, and so on. But you get enough for the actual tree itself. You can plant another tree in its place. Says Rav, are you telling me that just because you sold a living organism, that the definition of selling a living organism is that I have to be able to replace that organism? Or I get a right to the area that is directly where that living organism requires its placement. And how about if I sell you a spice that's supposed to be completely fresh? So I'm growing garden crocus, let's say, right? So, I mean, nobody's right mind goes to a supermarket for this. By the time it gets to the supermarket, it doesn't taste like anything. So you go out to your local organic farmer who has really discovered that you got to use carbon, not silicon, you know, that makes it organic. So now, and it's certified organic. No problem at all. So he sells you the rights. So that looks like it's going to be a very good little piece of crocus. Guy says, yeah, it should be ready for pulling out by tomorrow or next week. Okay, so I'll sell it to you now. You can keep it there until it's time to pull out. Obviously, the luck over there is, if you come back and you say, well, I pulled it out, but I replanted another one. So you're crazy. I gave you the right to the plant that was growing. You took it out. Goodbye. So why is this any different, says Rav. Valemale, why doesn't he say to him, you see that tree? That is one heck of an overgrown garden crocus now, isn't it? Because that's all I sold you. So it happens to me. A tree could go on for 5 years. A crocus could go on for 5 days. But it's the same idea. So Korkum Adarishka Zavinilacha, that's what I sold you. Okay, now it's finished. So Akor Korkum Adarishka Vazil. So take it out now. Elam Arava, says Rava. Let me explain what we're talking about over here. We're not talking about whether you get the rights. We're talking about whether you get a chazaka, not right. Real, the chazaka we're talking about, a cheskes habatim chazaka. The guy is coming with a taina. He's ba machmas taina. He's saying, look, I've been here for 5 years with this tree. So the guy says, so what does that prove? Kurkum Adarishka. Kurkum Adarishka. I had a contract that said that I was sold the rights to replace the tree and the ground. Where's your contract? It's over 3 years. I didn't keep the contract. Why weren't you mocha? Now, the guy, this goes right back to the issue we had before about Mashkanta Desura. So now the guy says, what was I supposed to do? You had every right to the tree there as long as the tree was living, so I couldn't possibly say, look at that guy, he's a ganav, he stole my land by putting the tree there. I sold you the tree. So what did you expect me to say? So we're now running into the same idea of Mecha Alamechsa again, right? And that forces us to review the sugi we had before, except in this case, Rav Ashi, instead of asking Rav Kahana and getting Rav Kahana's answer that there is a way to make a Mecha Alamechta, now Rav Ashi apparently sure accepted that because now he goes ahead and repeats it to those who ask him how you're supposed to make a Mecha. He says word for word, well, Rav Kahana told him yesterday. So Amalei Markashisha, Bered Rav Chisla Rav Ashi, I don't get it. And in a case where Lamaisa, a guy did sell it, as plain Kurkum Adarishka. That's what he had in mind. An overgrown garden crocus that looks like a palm tree. Right? But, I mean, abstractedly, it's just Kurkum Adarishka. So what about if he did sell him Kurkum Adarishka? So what's he supposed to do? How is he supposed to make a mecha'a? I mean, he can't say it's illegal. So what should he say? Oh, he said, he still should have announced, look, you see that guy that's been sitting in there and taking all of those peras? It's only because I sold the peras. Just say, what kind of mecha is that? I mean, does it scare the guy? He's not going to keep his contract. He doesn't think he's going to be sued. It's enough. And I'll prove to you that it's enough. And here Rav Ashi repeats the proof that Rav Kahana gave to him. The ilote ma'ach, if you don't think this is enough. So what are you going to do about the mashkanta desura? So ani mashkanta desura. In the mashkanta desura, what does it say? Remember, mashkanta desura is a mortgage that is given so that at the end of a certain number of years, the mortgage property is returned and no money is due. Why? Because those number of years of usage are deducted from the money that was owed for the mortgage. Now, it might be a 5-year mortgage, a 10-year mortgage. So now at the end of the years, what is to prevent the holder of the mortgage from saying, this is my property. I've been here for 5 years, 10 years. Nobody ever said anything. How come nobody said anything? So if the guy says to him, what do you mean? There was a mortgage contract. You're holding the contract. I don't know what you're talking about. What mortgage contract? Who mortgage contract? I bought it and I lost my contract. It's 10 years already. Why didn't you say anything before? So what are you going to do over there? And the fact is, as we mentioned earlier, there is no standard takana for a mortgage copy that's given to the borrower. We only have the contract that was mitukan for the lender. So it's always going to be in his hand. If he wants to be kavish the shtar mashkanta, what's to prevent damage to the borrower from not losing his field? So since it writes in every mashkanta the surah the following clause, quote, B'mishlam shenaya elin tepuk arada below kesef. At the end of X number of years, this land will be returned without any balance due, unquote. What's to prevent him? He covers the shtar mashkanta. If he now hides that shtar, he doesn't show it in court, and he claims instead lekucha yibiyadi. So what are you going to say? He'd be believed because, I mean, after all, I kept it. You weren't mocha, but there was no way to be mocha. I thought you said. No, but you asked me how can be mocha manamechza mecha if I'm there legally. So you, what do you say? You're telling me that mitakne rabbanan and chite malchanami. You're going to say, yeah. What can you do? So that would mean mitakne rabbanan milta dat to be able to say that. You think the rabbanan will make a takan of a mashkanta de surah without provision for another contract to make certain that this doesn't help, without taking into consideration that there's a way that a person can prevent ever getting into this mess? Well, there's only one way to prevent getting into this mess if you don't have a contract, and that's through making a statement. So that means Alma Iboy Leila Mechuye. Clearly, he was able to be mocha. Now, all that he can be mocha about is sort of very placid kind of mecha. Look, I just want people to know that it's really my property, and this guy is just there legally for other reasons. Not exactly, that guy's in my property, I'm going to be taking him to court, and I want everybody to know he's going to be sued, and then he knows he's got to watch out for his contract. Must be that he knows to watch out for his contract, even in a gentle type of bracha, where a person's just making a statement to let people know what the situation is. So, hachinami, this case is no different than that. In a case over here where you're telling me, I really did sell it only as kurka madarishka, this overgrown kurka madarishka tree that looks like a palm. So that, in hachinami, if I've been harvesting it for the past 10 years, then the owner should have said something. And that's the way he could protect himself when it dies, to force the guy to take it out and not to replace it. So yiboylei lemechuye. Zeh yichzik be'ilanot vezeh yichzik be'karka. Omer v'zvit zekana ilanot. V'zekana karka. Maske lo rupapin kein ein lelabal ilanot be'karka klum. So lo imalei bala karka lebal ilanot akoro ilan chashko v'zil. El omer v'pap zekana ilanot v'chatzi karka v'zekana chatzi karka. Pshita b'char karka v'shir ilanot v'fanav. Obviously yeshol karka. A few Rabbi Akiva, the Omer, normally a mocher is ba'ayin yafa mocher. That's only where he's not concerned that he's going to be pushed out. Let's say, Gabi, Bor, Vedut, the lo makshu ba'ar, the guy has no reason to get into a fight with him. Aval ilanot, the kamakshu ba'ara, he must have been shiure shir for himself, because the ilo shir, he knows what's going to happen. Le malay, the guy will come back to him and say, akorin landcha, vizil. On the other hand, if machari lanot v'shir karka lefanav, that is the classic machlokes Rebbe Akiva Rabbanan. Le Rebbe Akiva demar mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher itle. Le Rabbanan letle. Now, just to make it very clear, according to Rebbe Akiva itle, according to both Rizvid and Rav Papa, afil Rizvid yomer ein lo, min han mil gabi shnei lekuchot. The yomer le, well, echel ledidi let li be ilanot, so then ledid chanami let lecha bekarka. Bashenkin over here, according to Rabbi Akiva, I would say mocher ba'in yafa mocher. And when I say the rabbanan letle, I mean the rabbanan letle even only be the Rabbi Papa, because if Papa holds normally yeshlo, that's in this case, gabishne lekuchot. Because since he's letting go completely, so the yomer le, ki echel ledidit chazavin ba'in yafa, so ledidinami zavin ba'in yafa. Avalacha, the rabbanan shita is that mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher. Amrinar doi achlaner tzufin ein lo chazaka. Matkif la rava selamiyat ay mishudas pasta b'may koni lo. Elo amar rava, I say machran ritzufin that ein lo karka in terms of a sale. Omra bizera ketanoi, that would be dependent on kerem shunatua al pachot mi arba amod. Rabbi Shimon omer ein lo kerem, that's what you're saying. The whole thing is not viable. Which, according to you, is not what we do over here, because we're saying it's not a viable thing. We don't say thin it out. Why can't he just say, and now that it's ready, meaning in the case of the tree, it's dead, Elam Arava, we're only talking about a case of Bam Achmat Ta'ana, where he claims he had a contract on it. And what about in a case that he really did sell him it, only as Kurkam Lerishka? What's to prevent him from claiming he had a contract? So my Havilei Lameva, or you buy Leila Mechuye. If you don't believe that that is a kosher mecha, what are you going to do in a case where he covers Leila Shtar Mashkanta? What are you going to say? Hachinami to Mehema. You're trying to tell me that Metakir Rabbanan Milta not being Ledei Pseida. Clearly, Ibai Leila Mechuye. And if that's the case, it's a kosher mecha. Therefore, in our case also, Hachinami Ibai Leila Mechuye.